Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
There is in you a God. He's working through you. You can't do it by yourself. But it's God in you doing the work. Be inspired. Don't doubt and don't let other people cause you to stop. Focus. Be intent. Another way to say it would be find your passion and go, because that's God that put that in you. And it's God's authority. It's God's authority in you to succeed. And everybody said amen. I know this is mystical, maybe ethereal, but it's true. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think right, man, you'll live right. And I want to pray for you right now for what happened in this service, the faith, to stir up the gift, all of the words that were spoken to you, that God would help you remember when you're away from this atmosphere that you are still the child of God, you are still the person who was touched by the Spirit here, so that you will remember. I'm going to pray right now for your memory, that you'll remember the word of the Lord and not be discouraged 4 or 5 days from now and think, if I can just get back to church, I'll feel good. No, it's the Spirit of God in you that lifted you up. Father, I ask you now, as I'm about to preach, to give these people a good handle, a good thought, a memory of what you spoke to them this morning, releasing them to go forward. Help them remember the word of the Lord. Help them meditate on the word of the Lord to them. Help us to walk now in faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me for just a moment? For 3 weeks I have been telling you that you are the beloved of God. The benefits of believing that, the benefits of hearing and believing that begin on the inside. It changes the way you think about yourself, changes your view of yourself to believe that God loves you, that you are a child of God. It's supposed to do something to the way you think. He doesn't just say these things for nothing. It's to cause you to believe. Hear it again today. You are loved by God. He loves you. The negative and broken places in your life can be healed by the truth of the Word of God. It may be hard for you to see your value. It may be hard for you to believe, but there's a spark inside of you that when I say it, the Spirit blows on that fire that's in you and you say, I believe that, I know that. But all the other thoughts and all the other incidents in my life and all the things that have happened to me try to kill that. But God won't let that word go out. He loves you. You are precious in His sight. I read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Don't just feel it this morning. Rely on it. God is love. Would you say those three words? God is, one more time. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Is that powerful? You live in God, and God lives in you. Father, I'm asking for a revelation, a spirit of revelation today. Help me to say just exactly what you want me to say, not more, not less. Bless your people, give them ears to hear. Bring a revelation on this church right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. Still in 1 John chapter 3, reading from the King James Version, 1 John 3, 1 and 2. I'll read from the NIV as you look behind me and follow along in the Old English Version. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Somebody say amen. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Verse 2, beloved or dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Say amen to the word of the Lord. 1 John 3, please, verse 11. And this verse almost sums up the total of what's been said here today. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The whole thing I felt a little while ago in laying hands on you and releasing was so that you would go and release the love of God, that you would go and be like Jesus. Listen, do things that people will say thank you for, not get mad at you, not argue, not fight with you about. Do things that people will be thankful for. When they say thank you for doing a good thing, what you have done is a God thing. God is good to people. People say thank you because you've done a God thing. So think about how you would treat someone so that they would say thank you, because in effect, they're saying thank God. Because it's God that works in you to do good, to do his will. I got to do this systematically, but I do need at least your acknowledgement that you understand what I just said. That when you do a good thing, it's a God thing. There's no good in you. It's God coming out. And when people say thank you, though they may not acknowledge it as God, what they're doing is recognizing good things are happening. That's what God wants to do in our lives. So he says, love one another. Love one another. Verse 16 and 18, 16 through 18, 1 John 3, 16. Now this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Amen? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, Gloria. Think about what you said a little while ago. Let's not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, how many of you feel like the Lord has ever used you to prophesy or say something inspiring about Jesus? Let me see you that say, I think I have that gift. Real high. Several of you. If you have that gift, if you can fathom all mysteries, that'd be somebody like, well, Bob was just mentioning his engineering skills, and some of you have figured things out. If you understand mysteries and all knowledge, some of you think you know it all. If I have faith that can move mountains, Nate talked about this, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Amen? If I give all I possess to the poor, I might be apt to do that now and then. Surrender my body to the flames? I don't think so. But have not love, I have gained nothing. Somebody say amen. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't boast. Love is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Does anybody see in there some improvement you might make? Just leave that up there just a moment, please. Anybody? How many of you are trying to not be so easily angered? Oh, very well. Let me see. I don't know if I ever saw Randy put his hand up so high. Love that, Randy. I mean, he stretched out, lifted his head, his shoulder, and his whole hand went up near. Let me see again. I like this. I like this. This is confession. How many of you want to not be so easily angered, so fast? Oh, more people. Now that we're bragging about you, look at all these hundreds of people. Let me see. Yeah? Nah, I don't want to get angry so fast. Boy, this one gets me. I got to put my hand up. I sometimes have a problem bringing up the past and the stuff that somebody's already done and saying, boy, that looks like a pattern to me. That's just the way they are. Come on. Few? Oh, yeah? How many of you you want God to help you let go of the wrongs that have been done to you? Let them go. Everybody say, let it go. Put your hand up real high and say, I will let it go. You got to let it go. Because you can let an incident in your past dictate your future. You got to let it go. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Now, for a theological point that just destroys my religious friends and blows their minds, I think God does not keep record of wrongs. He's not going to send you to hell for what you did wrong. He does not remember and doesn't keep a record. People say, well, what about the Lamb's Book of Life? It's got all good stuff in it, folks. He has forgotten the bad and writes down the good. Love keeps. I just had to throw that in just to bug somebody that listens to the podcast. Keeps no record of wrong. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord today that is specific for this morning. As Gloria prayed for those who heard her, as Nate prophesied from this piano under the power of the Spirit, hear me today. Listen to me. Don't fight the love of God. Don't resist the love of God. He's trying to bring you out. He's trying to pull you out. He's trying to help you and heal you. Don't keep arguing, well, this is just the way it is. No, it isn't. Love doesn't fail. Hang in there and it'll work out. Keep believing, brother. Keep singing, sister. He loves you. He will not let you down. He will not let you down. Another quick theology. Listen carefully. We use the term in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. The word name is authority. It means under the authority of God. Jesus came in the name of the Lord. His name, proper noun, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, is different. It doesn't mean the same thing. When you say in the name of the Lord, we're not referring to Jesus. When David faced Goliath and said in the name of the Lord, he wasn't talking about Jesus. He was saying, I come to you under the authority of God right now. You don't fight Goliath without God. You don't overcome things without God. And so to Nate, to me, I've prayed. I've asked mountains to be removed. I've laid hands on myself to be delivered from cancer. I can't understand why. Have you got any questions in your head about why God didn't do what you thought? You prayed, you had faith. Listen to me. God's smarter than you. He's got a bigger plan than you've got. He knows the end from the beginning. There are times when you pray with all of your might. You believe with all of your heart. Don't question God for not doing everything you've asked. He never fails. He always does what's best for you. He's never proud. He's never holding back. You got to hear me today. Because when he does speak, or when you are moved on by the Spirit, when you go in the name of the Lord, it always works. Is that all right? I don't want to stay there long, but did you get that? This is the answer. I'm giving you the answer to one of the great quandaries of the Christian church. Why, when I said in the name of Jesus, didn't it happen when I believed? It's not up to you. When you are heard, when you are answered, it's when you are in the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say, amen. Okay. So, what never fails? Would you please answer one more time? Sometimes prophecies don't work. Speaking in tongues, that's going to stop. I should read it. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What is God trying to do through you? He's trying to love through you. Be kind when people aren't kind. Don't be rude. He's trying to be salt through you. For years and years, I'm going to give you a big secret this morning. For years and years, I have felt very careful about calling on you to do anything. I come from a works-oriented, performance-based religion. Years I've been careful to feed you, to talk to you, encourage you, to let something happen inside of you that would be healed from that religious madness. Today, I'm going to ask you to consider doing something, maybe for the first time. I think you're mature. I don't think you're going to go and try to win the love of God by doing good deeds. I think you believe He loves you right now. Through your mess, He loved you. And He didn't forsake you when you acted like a fool. So hear me. He wants to love through you. And when people say thank you for the good things that you do, they may not recognize it, but inside them, they realize something universal, something cosmic, something spiritual, something mystical, something God just happened. I feel like I have received something good. And when they say thank you, it's like the church celebrating what we recognize as the goodness of God and the power of His Spirit. But if enough good people do good things, enough people will find out that it's God, and the world will be changed by love. Not by doctrine, not by preaching. But there's been a disconnect from what He thinks and what we do. We've resisted doing what He thought. We've had all kind of reasons not to respond. Well, I'm not worthy. I haven't been praying. I don't have enough money to give that person $5. You talk yourself right out of it. Being kind to somebody. Well, I don't even know them. That doesn't matter. He knows. He knows where they are. And if you just tell them that you see them, if they just think somebody sees them, if you just tell them, I feel like maybe the Lord told me to tell you He cares about you and I love you. You could save someone from suicide. You may be saving somebody from a broken heart. You may be saving somebody from driving off a cliff because you were good at just the right moment, because the brain, the word was focused and concentrated, and you heard the word of the Lord and responded. Make any sense? By the time they'd arrived at urgent care, in Mesa, Arizona. Cheryl Dills knew that something was seriously wrong with her husband, Mike. He had been feeling weak, slurring his words, and now he was, as she was filling out the paperwork in the waiting room, she says, I looked over at Mike and his eyes rolled back in his head and he started to have seizures. EMTs revived him only to have him flatline again in the hospital. Within hours, the once vibrant realtor, then 64, was lying paralyzed on a hospital bed, unable to move, speak, or breathe on his own. The doctor said he had suffered a devastating stroke. They told me there was zero hope, says Cheryl. There were a lot of broken hearts. What Cheryl did not know was that Mike had, in fact, heard every word the doctors had said. I knew all that was going on, says Mike. The family was arguing over what to do with me. You can't imagine how desperate that is, being 100% of sound mind and not being able to convey that while outside people are telling you that you're a goner. What happened next can only be described, he says, as a miracle. His daughter Cheyenne, then 20, noticed tears in his eyes and suddenly asked, can you understand us? When she saw his eyes moving, she impulsively proposed going through the alphabet, telling Mike to blink when he heard the letter he needed to spell out the words. Minutes later, he'd spelled out, no hope. The room full of the family erupted in tears and assurances. There's always hope, Cheyenne exclaimed. If you want to get through this, we're going to help you. Mike and his medical team now believe that the stroke had caused locked-in syndrome, a rare condition where damage to the brain stem prevents it from being able to direct the body's movement. 5 years later now, following months of painstaking blinking out messages, intensive physical therapy, Mike's determination to retain his brain to communicate with his body has regained his ability to walk and talk and drive on his own. When you hear about recovery from locked-in syndrome, what it usually means is that the person was able to take the surviving circuits and squeeze some new behaviors out of them. Dr. Steve Kramer, University of California, Irvine neurologist, said he attributes Mike's recovery to the brain's innate ability to find workarounds. And his type of A drive, optimism, and strong social support, he was able to cross a goal line that few have ever been able to cross. For his part, Mike said he's going to recover. And he's going to figure out how. In the first few moments after his collapse, he was drawn toward a light, saw a vision, and he says a voice told him, you'll have to be real patient. It'll take a long time to reconnect your brain to every strand in your body. The vision soothed him, but as he overheard the hopes of others starting to slip, he thought, this is a tough one. I'm going to have to rely on somebody else being smart enough to decide I'm still in here. Cheyenne gave me a way to communicate. Mike, who returned home 6 months after the stroke, now moves easily with a walker, works out daily, drives a minivan, spends an hour in the garage workshop, says he believes he will be able, unassisted, to walk one day, and levels no blame at the doctors who told his family he would never recover. I know in their own minds they thought I couldn't feel anything, that I was frozen in time, and that's the way I was going to die. With 4 children, 4 grandkids, newly renovated home, Mike says, I got a perfect family, a perfect house, and a perfect life. Now he's sharing his story in the hopes of inspiring others not to throw in the towel. He was spared for a reason. So God writes, love is patient. and he's waiting and going around your mess, trying to reform communication with you. He's determined that he's going to let somebody on the outside know what's going on the inside. Can you see his tears? Can you look him in the eye? Can you feel what he's saying? He's saying, I want to move through you. I want to love through you. Our church has displaced religion. Isms. We have displaced denominationalism, Pentecostalism, with love. We want to communicate the love of God. And he's been working around, healing up the other circuits, and making it possible for you, the body of Christ, to respond. Gloria, you said go be salt. I'm telling you, go love everybody, and that's pretty salty. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Happy New Year. We've got direction from the head. The brain is communicating with the body, and it feels right to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to love everybody. Let's stand, shall we?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.